Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. From the Singles Only podcast, we have comedian Paul Farvar. And it's time again for Bacon in Chicago, so we have the team from Bacon Fest coming live in studio. We've also got from the Legal Face-Off, Rich Lenkoff, who has a brand new documentary coming out on the 85 Bears. Also, be sure to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the WGN Radio Studios here in Chicago, the one and only, Patty Vasquez.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And I want to thank Steve Cochran for having him on my show. Having me on his show. Having me on my show would be weird. But, you know, Joe Romano was producing the show, and he actually used my intro music during Cochran's show, and I got confused as to what time of the day it was. And we talked a little bit about a Netflix special that we'll touch on later. We also talked about the movie Philadelphia Story that Nick D is showing next week for his movie club at the Rosemont AMC. So I'm excited to be seeing that on the big screen. I've never seen that on the big screen. It's a Katharine Hepburn, Katharine Hepburn. Not Tracy, but Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart classic. It's such a good movie. Rich Lenkoff joins us in studio. Have you seen Philadelphia Story?
I have not.
No?
Not a huge fan of the older movies, you know? I like Philadelphia, though. The Tom Hanks one.
Well, of course, you're lawyers. You both love that movie. Paul Farvar, Esquire. Rich Lenkoff, Esquire, as well.
I echo into the old movie thing. I've said it to you before, Patty, that a lot of the movies I don't want to see.
Those kind of movies?
Okay, now Jimmy Cagney movies are quite good. Okay, there's a movie I'm going to recommend to you.
All right.
Having said that, is Angels with Dirty Faces.
James Cagney, is it?
Jimmy Cagney and Pat O'Brien. And Little Caesar. Was that which actor is it that does that?
Edward G. Robinson.
That's the one. See, you know who does all the voices.
I know a lot of stuff. I just don't like watching those old movies.
Have you seen a lot of them, or you just don't?
No,
like them?
I've never seen any of them.
You've never seen any of them.
No,
so
but
how
you know, Billy
you
Crystal
like
does that famous Edward G. Robinson bit about him being in Ten Commandments and being totally miscast
as Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, bring me your Jews, eh? See, yeah, see.
And then John Wayne is one of the Roman guards, I think, too.
Yeah.
Who it's so oddly cast all
before
over the place.
1978, I'm just out.
Everything before 1978.
I mean, 70s, maybe Rocky and Jaws, of course, but I'd say before 70.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, black and white is one. Yeah. I call it.
Yeah, and there's no way to if you go into it thinking I'm going to hate this, then you're going to hate it. So there's not a way to sort of ameliorate that at all.
Cool Hand Luke is the greatest movie of all time.
And that's before 1978.
That. Yeah, so I stand by that, but everything else,
okay,
I can do without.
If there's exceptions, that means that there's no rule. Anyway.
That's true.
I mean, legally, if one thing is true, then it's all true.
You're blowing my mind.
If this, then that. Isn't that what your entire profession is based on?
One and a half lawyers in this room right now. So
barely.
Well, one and a half lawyers, or two lawyers, one comedian, one filmmaker. You don't make films, Paul, so that takes you out of the category on that. Rich Lenkoff has a documentary out, a film about the 1985 Bears called?
85, the greatest team in football history.
Amen.
True story. Amen.
True that.
I do feel religious when I think about that team. Mm-hmm. I would never have known anything about football were it not for those characters on that team. Not just the way they played, but the way they were, you know, whether it was in interviews or obviously the Super Bowl shuffle, there was a greatness about them individually and collectively.
Yeah, I mean, they were superheroes and, you know, as Gary Fensick in the film points out, who is, you know,
one of the
defensive backs on the film.
Number 45.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole point that you're making is people today, and he says this in the film, people today, if you stop the average person on the street, not just in Chicago, but across the country, they could name more members of the offensive line of the 85 Bears than they can of any member of today's team, right? And that's the offensive line.
Yeah.
Jay Hilgenberg, Covert, Van Horn, right? These guys.
Hilgenberg, yep.
And he said, Stephon
Humphreys.
Yeah, McMahon said Kevin Butler had a commercial. What kicker has commercials, right?
Yeah. So Butthead. I have a selfie with Butthead, too. It was very exciting for me. I mean, you worked with these guys, so it's less exciting. You had to sit down and have interviews. How long did it take you to collaborate, to plan out who you were going to interview, what that interview was going to, sort of where the setting would be, what the tone of it would be? Because it's not just like sitting down and chatting with somebody.
Yeah, I mean, my partner and I, Scott Preston, who is my production partner, our director, he and I were the main creative, so he and I would, sit down and figure out what stories we wanted to cover, because obviously there's so many, so you want to sort of narrow it down. But, we also had a lot of time with them, some of them we had very few minutes, but, we wanted to obviously have as much as possible from which to, use. And then obviously we cut down to the most relevant parts to fit into our running time. But yeah, I mean, there was a million great stories that didn't make the cut, obviously, that got cut out. There are some people, like we have the mayor of Chicago, and he's only in the film for maybe 60 seconds tops, just because you got to cut it somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, we went through it and we sort of knew the direction that we wanted to go. But sometimes talking to these guys, it would go a whole other direction. So, we let it take us. But we ended up with some pretty good stories, I thought.
And the reviews have been great. And where is it? How many screens is this on?
So we premiere tonight. We were on 260 screens roughly across the country, including all over Chicago, but it was only one night. Sort of the deal with with Fathom Events that put out the film today was one time in theaters. So if you didn't see it tonight at 7:30, then you can't see it in theaters, at least for now. But we're going to be released on video on demand this week, and lots of different places that you can see it. But in theaters, the idea was see it tonight before it releases on VOD.
What cities besides Chicago? 200, you said 266
all
screens.
Over. I mean, LA, New York. We had people. So if you check our Twitter feed at 85 Bears Doc, there were people checking in all over the country. So New Jersey checking in. We had Tampa. My parents went to see it in Miami.
What'd they say?
They were plotzing, in old Jewish people speak.
That sounds messy. What does that mean?
It's Yiddish for, bursting with pride. They called me on the way home with their other older Jewish Florida friends saying how great it was. So, yeah, it was all over the place. One place it wasn't, unfortunately, was Vegas. I'm doing this other thing and this other production in Vegas, and I was just got back from being a week in Vegas. That's why my voice is a little shot.
You sound great. You do.
Yeah, that's a week of vodkas and other things. But it wasn't playing in Vegas, which kind of sucked. But yeah, it's playing all over the place. And then anyone who didn't see it tonight could see it on VOD, video on demand, shortly.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's find out what else Rich Lenkoff is working on. Paul Farfar joins us. Hopefully he won't be chewing with his mouth open later, but I can never say
I did
for
not
sure.
prepare for what's Paul eating.
Oh, I'm so happy tonight.
We just did it last week, so I know the rules.
We want to space it out? Thank you. Yeah, give me a little bit of time to recover from the last open mouth, spit on the microphone moment.
There was no spitting.
Okay, more after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, host of the podcast Singles Only, available on iTunes. And we also have Rich Lenkoff, attorney and the co-host. See how I had to change it because I was so used to saying the better half of...
You used to say better handsomer,
looking, yes,
smarter.
Things.
Those days are over.
Yeah, but it's
not true anymore.
I kind of had a general idea about you. I didn't say it wasn't true anymore. I can't verify nor deny that. But your former co-host, had a little, I would say, bravado about him. So
yes.
I felt good about sort of countering that with your introductions. But tell us when Legal Face-Off airs.
So we air every 2 weeks on WGN. It's a legal-themed podcast. We are in our fourth year, maybe entering our fifth year. I'm not sure, but... yeah, me and Christina Martini, we cover lots of different issues, sports, politics, entertainment, any legal issues. We also have great guests all the time. We've had people like Alan Dershowitz, Jesse Jackson, Gloria Allred's a frequent guest.
Dershowitz has become very political, is what I've been sensing. He said something about he would never have voted for Obama if he had seen him in a picture with somebody. I just saw a headline about this. But I was wondering about that. I mean, for the most part, I guess a lot of attorneys do when they're on these panels or they're talking heads for a news network, they do become political. But he seems to have become very much so.
Well, Dershowitz, I think his beef with Obama centers around Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Dershowitz has always been, I mean, forever, very, very pro-Israel. So I think, I don't know what you're referring to, but I bet it's about,
it was something about Israel,
Obama's
yes.
Involvement in, you know, the Israeli-Palestine issue. So I bet it's around that, because I don't know if it's political as much as very much,
very,
you know,
personal.
Pro-Israel.
Well, he's on Fox quite often,
right.
too.
So.
Yeah, he is on Fox. I saw him on a couple times on there recently.
Always taking what I would call the sliver, the side that goes against the grain of what most lawyers would say
yeah.
about the investigations.
But I think he's also on CNN. I think I've seen him on CNN recently as well. Huh. But yeah, he's certainly out there a lot.
Well, because I know right now we have someone running for attorney general who is a talking head from, you know, has been sort of a one of the experts on CNN.
Like Renato Mariotti?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see people who are, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, from the beginning of politics, lawyers have been involved in politics. It's just interesting mm-hmm. to watch them go from like being an expert and then running for office because we do have this sort of twisted idea of, because we think of the judicial system, you think of people who then ascend to the level being a judge. Obviously, the ultimate judgeship would be the Supreme Court, and sort of having this idea of it's supposed to be about the word of the law, but you see people get very stratified when it comes to politics, who are in the legal profession. Not that you can't have opinions, it's just interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think traditionally, I mean, if you go back just through history, you know, lots of elected officials do come from legal backgrounds. I think the idea, to your point, is that, you know, they have some baseline of knowledge of the way things should be and the rule of law. But, you know, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of examples of lawyers who are politicians who go wrong. I mean, there's, you know.
And that's something. There was a study about bias in the Supreme Court, and that you can't remove it. You can't remove someone's bias when it comes to whether it's politics or their you know, predilection toward a certain side.
You mean the judges themselves?
The judges themselves. I mean, you know, and especially if you're a judge who's been appointed by a Republican, and that's something that you've identified with, you know, whether it's through the way you have, practiced law or been a judge, it seems like it would make sense that it would carry through even as a Supreme Court justice.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I like to think that most of the time Supreme Court is not political. There obviously are a few times,
but
that
they always seem to judge. I mean, they always seem to vote along political lines based on, you know, each case
on certain issues. But
I think people were surprised when he sided with Obama on the Affordable Care Act.
I think he's more of a purist in terms of understanding and respecting the Constitution, and as a lawyer. I kind of tend to think that, yeah, you're right, like on the big ticket items, but if you go by the law and you listen to their oral arguments, it's kind of interesting to see how most of them are pretty unbiased, I would say. I don't know. Rich is the expert. I'm just
yeah,
a part-time lawyer.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that Roberts, you mentioned him, to your point, you know, he angered a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans with many of his decisions, including, I think, three Obamacare decisions that upheld it. You know, Gorsuch, we'll see, because he's only been on the bench for, you know, less than a term. But he struck me during the hearings, and knowing his past, as someone who would follow the law regardless of where it takes him. I think so far he has shown himself to be fairly conservative, at least in the manner in which he's communicated, some of the speeches he's given. You know, there are some like Clarence Thomas who are almost go to the bank that they're going to rule a certain way.
Right.
But yeah, I think sometimes you're surprised, and that's a good thing.
Please. Yeah. I would like to be surprised. I need surprises, because for the last year, I feel like I'm surprised, but not in a good way. Like when I wake up and look at my Twitter account. Anyway, so are conversations like this what drove you into making films and starting Renegades? Tell us what Renegades is in Vegas.
Yeah, so Renegades is a live production at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Myself and Scott Preston, who also directed our 85 Bears film, are producing it. And it's a live show. The concept, our tagline is Sports Rebels Unleashed. So the idea is we've got three athletes from different walks of life, but who all are rebels, renegades in some way or the other. They've reached this point in their career through unconventional paths. So we've got people like Jose Canseco, who's known as the godfather of steroids, testified in front of Congress, wrote a book called Juiced that outed a lot of players who took steroids.
Yeah, McGuire was not pleased about that one.
No, exactly. We've got Terrell Owens, who is very famous for having not gotten along very well with his teammates, basically invented the touchdown celebration that we are all familiar with now.
Sure.
Back then, he was getting fined for it.
Sure, when you have 153 of them, you may as well dance every single time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's,
cheating.
You know, amazing player.
Steve Garvey, of course, who's the rebel of all rebels of all sports. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. And then we've got Jim McMahon, so our three athletes.
Oh, nice.
McMahon from the 85 Bears.
I love how you can just say, and Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
You kind of know the
you know
story there. Yeah.
Yeah, McMahon rounds up the cast. So it's really cool. We started on our first show was Thursday of last week. We're sort of in a soft opening now. Our opening night party is in a couple weeks. It's been really well received. Great buzz. Lots of great reviews.
And then you have a comedian and a performer involved in this as well, Martin Montana.
Yeah, Martin Montana is our host. Really funny comedian. You know, warms the crowd up. Takes some questions from the audience. Keeps things rolling pretty quickly. It's a really fun show. It's 90 minutes, so it's not, you know, a whole night commitment. You know, we're really targeting that audience of people who are not out for the night yet, looking for something to do between 8 and 10 p.m. Our show starts at 8. It's a great chance to ask these guys questions and interact with them.
There's
a VIP thing.
Yeah,
it's fun. You know, we're going to reboot the show every 3 months with new athletes, so we've got some great athletes coming up. It's been fun so far.
When I was 16 years old, I was a lifeguard at North Avenue Beach, and they selected three of us to we had like special crews that had assignments throughout the city for different things, like let's say Venetian night or whatever. And it happened to be the year that the White Sox, I think it was the White Sox, were hosting the All-Star game. So they had a big party down at Navy Pier, and so I had to guard along the rocks along the thing, and I almost fell off the rocks because a ball player came up to the railing and offered me a plate of food and seemed very nice. He was very kind. It was Jose Canseco.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was very cool.
He tells that story in our show.
And then I saw his lifeguard out on the rocks. But I'm such a baseball geek that I was like, oh, my God, it's Jose Canseco. And, of course, it was like, it was the 80s. So before we even knew anything about anybody taking
I have his rookie card.
Do you really?
I have his and McGuire's. They were like in 80, let's see, 87 was when Topps released them, even though there was 86. But they were the greatest thing that happened at baseball at the time.
Bash Brothers. Yeah. I mean, that whole team was amazing.
Oh, yeah. So good. I love Jose Canseco's little bio here. It says, reality star, mixed martial arts enthusiast, competitive senior softball player, avid bowler, identical twin, and extreme long drive hitting golf ball philanthropist.
International man of mystery also.
I didn't know he had a twin, identical twin.
I did not know,
that? Yeah, Ozzie Canseco played with him for a few games on a couple different teams. But yeah, it's his identical twin. They both got into a famous brawl outside a nightclub. The good news is we have an automatic understudy if Jose can't make it one night.
In the event.
Just slot Ozzy in and no one knows.
We can Bernie's him outside there. Just be like, just put your glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Who fills in for him? His twin just comes in and is like, nobody even knows.
Don't
fantastic.
Say anything.
Where do people find out information about the showtimes, location? I know it's a Cleopatra's Barge.
Yeah, Cleopatra's Barge. You know, Google us. We're all over the place. You can buy tickets on Ticketmaster, on our website. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of good stuff. And if anyone wants some tickets for the next couple weeks, happy to give away some comps to your loyal listeners.
Oh, there we go. 312-981-7200. If you or someone you know are going to be in Vegas in the next few weeks. Right now, the show is running through February.
Well, right now, we are having the current cast for 3 months, so through the end of April.
Okay.
And then starting in May, we're going to reboot it with some other great athletes. The idea is every 3 months, we're going to have a new set of Renegades, keep things fresh and keep things rolling.
Do you want to stick around for some bacon?
Sure, I'd love
to. Excellent. We've got our friends from Bacon Fest coming up after the news. The 10th edition of Bacon Fest Chicago is coming up on April 6th and 7th at the UIC Forum, which is at 725 West Roosevelt Road right here in Chicago. And joining me in studio is Seth Zurer.
Zur.
You added more R's than I did, Seth Zurer. and he's a co-founder of Bacon Fest Chicago, and James Lintelman, Baptiste and Bottle, our very good friend, he's brought treats. Hi, James. It's been so long. I love having you in studio. You always bring delicious treats. I also love you too, Seth. Don't feel like, and you don't have to just wait until Bacon Fest to come join us, you know.
I'm happy to come anytime, Patty.
I appreciate that. Have you met our good friend Rich Linkov besides tonight?
Hello.
I don't believe we have.
Why? What is happening? This looks amazing. All right, tell me a little bit about what's going on in the sandwich. Is this one of the items available at Bacon Fest, James?
Yeah, I got kind of silly. No, I just kind of got loose tonight.
You just kind of cut loose?
Yeah, we made like a...
It's a mufalada kind of thing? I'm sorry.
No, it's like a Mexican sandwich.
Oh, okay, it
torta.
Is?
It's my favorite type of sandwich. So we made an al pastor type pork belly, which is kind of silly. Spicy black beans.
Why is it silly?
You don't usually use that. You usually use like a pork shoulder for that.
Oh, now I'm absolutely appalled that you would use al pastor instead of...
No, it came out really good. So.
I love how he's sort of questioning it as he's saying it.
The creative process is very fraught.
Can I tell you what I tell musicians and stand-up comedians and actors and everything? We didn't know what you meant to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just let it exist.
No, I'm completely confident.
Okay.
And you can see that. You can see that in my face. No, I'm happy with it. I didn't try it till right before I came here.
Right.
It's really, really good.
And you're pleased with it.
Very happy.
I just like that you're walking us through the process of self-doubt.
So what we started with was a little bit of
what show on 91.5 are you doing?
Soft rock. Yeah.
What? They get very close to the microphone and they talk. What, don't they?
I know how it works.
They do a little bit of this. Rich, can you try your 91.5?
Yes, welcome to Smooth Sound.
He's really
good. This
is
a family show. That's too... Very erotic.
A lot more baritone excited. In that. Well, yeah. There's bacon in the room. Which
there's
is
the meat of love.
The meat of... The move.
I just coined that. I don't know if it's good or not. I'm going to have to sleep on it.
Google it. Can you make...
I didn't get one. No, I need...
Paul's nickname in college, by the way.
Meat of love.
The meat of love.
Michael, are we okay with the FCC if we keep saying the meat of love?
No.
Are we okay with that?
You know what? Anytime else, it would be no, but tonight I think it's okay.
Are you comfortable if I say meat of love to you?
Yeah.
All right.
You're looking her dead in the eyes, too.
I know.
So.
Well, she's top right-hand corner up there.
Yeah.
I know. See? Make an eye contact right there.
We just did. Yep.
There it is.
That's great.
So, Bacon Fest. This is the world's largest Bacon Fest. Let's just go ahead and say that. I'm not sure.
Yes, it is now.
Without a doubt, the largest Bacon Fest the world has ever seen.
Ever.
I will say it is the best Bacon Fest.
What was the previous record before this year? How much did you guys beat it by?
The previous record? Well, I think I did the numbers. We have gone through something like... 43,000 pounds of bacon over our 10-year history.
Wow.
Each year...
I'm sorry, did you say 4,300 pounds of bacon?
No, I said 43,000 pounds.
Okay, I was going to say 4,300. I couldn't decide if it was big enough, but it's...
Right.
About four tons of bacon a year. Which I did the math one year. I kind of figured it out. If we took all the bacon that we have at the event and sliced it up and laid each slice end to end each year,
it would solve poverty in Africa. Right.
Not only that, it would be a 25-mile... bacon course, a marathon of bacon.
Greatest marathon ever.
Exactly. Delicious.
Oh, I think you have a new idea.
New idea.
Bacon-thon.
Bacon marathon. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the
every
thing about-
mile, you just give away a piece of bacon instead of water.
Or someone throws a piece of bacon at your face.
Yes.
Every quarter mile, they just throw a handful.
And if you catch it, you win.
Yeah.
That mile.
You don't have to run anymore. If you catch it, you don't have to run anymore.
One of those like with a carrot on a stick, but with a bacon hanging in front of me so I can be running after it.
I would run that mile. Hell yeah.
You run a mile, catch the bacon, but if you can't catch it, you got to run another mile for the next chance. What do you think?
But then at the 26th.
I got to ask you a question. I've always wanted to ask a bacon expert this, and it's probably a stupid question.
No.
What is the definition of bacon? Because sometimes I'll order bacon at the, kind of high-end hipster places.
Yeah.
And it's something totally different than what I consider bacon. So what is the formal definition of bacon?
I mean, I throw it to the chef.
Oh, I thought he was talking to me, too. You're right
I couldn't
middle.
See you over.
No, I mean, the formal definition of bacon is that it's a cured pork belly.
Smoked pork belly, yeah.
You still had that. You were more confident before.
But like what James did tonight, for example, he took pork belly and he treated it something different than just regular bacon. So it's, I know what you mean. You go to a restaurant, like, oh, it's pork belly. It tastes like roast pork.
Right.
But I think it's the idea of, hey, this is the most unctuous and delicious of all the pork products.
And does it have to be from a certain part of the pig or?
Right, the belly.
Belly.
Right in here.
Got it.
I like how you just rubbed your belly.
No, it's like the nipple area. on a pig.
Michael, are we okay with the nipple area? We're okay with that?
This is,
Yeah. That's
totally
fine.
Totally.
We're talking about pork bellies and nipple. Pork. It's a pig nipple.
He sounded like a Porky the Pig when he said that too. He's
like, yeah. Pork nipple.
We also have a listener on the line who would like to check in with Rich Lenkov's offer. Hey, Maureen, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Are you heading to Vegas soon?
Yes, I'm from Chicago, but I live in Arizona.
Okay.
And we are leaving on Wednesday.
You are leaving on Wednesday to go to Vegas. Perfect. There are shows this weekend. Do you have any questions for Rich about this show?
No. Is it age appropriate for someone 18 plus?
Yeah, it is in fact 18 and up, so you're good there.
Because they are athletes, they might cut loose a little bit. I'm going to guess that Jim McMahon likes to let it fly a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. We encouraged him the last couple shows to open up even more, and that's probably a mistake when you're talking to Jim McMahon because he has no problem opening up a lot. So, yeah, it's okay for 18 and up as long as your child or children are not too sensitive. I will just say that.
How old do you have? Do you have a teenager?
No, she's actually 24.
Oh, yeah.
She'll be fine.
She's heard it all.
She's heard way worse, believe me.
24 in Arizona?
You might learn some new words from Jim McMahon. That's the issue I have, Maureen.
Well, we still are Bears season ticket holders.
You are? Oh, there you go. Yep. Oh, I'm so excited. Then hold on the line. Michael will get your information, and we'll pass it along to Rich to make sure he has it for your trip to Vegas this weekend.
Oh, thanks much. This is great.
Oh, I'm so glad you were listening, Maureen. That was perfect. And then you got to get back to Chicago to come to Bacon Fest, which is happening when?
April 6th and 7th.
So you have plenty of time to get back, Maureen.
That's right. So this you can actually get tickets right now to Bacon Fest at our website, baconfestchicago.com. And on April 6th and 7th, we'll have, I think at current count, 140 different restaurants.
And this sells out too, doesn't it?
It has sold out many times in the past, and we live in hope.
So we're encouraging people to get their tickets ahead of time.
People should get their tickets ahead of time. There's a last chance of getting our early bird pricing for Friday night tickets for the Friday dinner session. And then Saturday lunch is starting to get close to sold out. So if people want to go to that Saturday lunch session,
already?
They should check it out. Yeah. And we're going to release the chef list this coming week. So it's always an exciting moment in Bacon Fest's lead up is when we put it out there. How many new restaurants we have, all the great new restaurants that have come back from previous years like Baptiste and Bottle and James.
How do you guys decide who gets to be on the list? Is there like a pig off or something?
I always did dream that one day chefs would just line up at my front door with offerings and say to me, "Hey, Seth, this is what I'm going to give to you if you let me to Bacon Fest." But the reality is that we send them an email and we put out a list of basically restaurants that are kind of pork oriented that we think would be a good fit with our event.
So
do something creative and fun with bacon.
I've always arm wrestled.
Oh, did you really? Too. Oh, he made you jump through a different hoop altogether.
I've always made it, too.
Why can't you just have like a pig off where they all like line up and they're like, okay, you got a minute to eat as much bacon as possible. And whoever eats the most bacon should be the winner.
I'm just not sure that there's an overlap in the skill set between stuffing your face with bacon and preparing an incredible delicious.
Think about especially the entertainment. That's your opening.
They're setting the bar a little bit higher than your eating with your mouth open situation that you're talking about.
Close mouth. Context. Close mouth.
Oof.
Eat.
Are we allowed to say that?
I think so. I think it's already happened. It's too late.
I'm just saying, and then you can use that video as the opening.
By the way,
the opening act of the show.
I believe one of my friends has won the Golden Rasher once. Has Knife and Time, haven't they won the Golden Rasher?
They have won the Golden Rasher for their front of house. So we give a prize out for the best bacon dish, and we also give a prize out for a station decoration. And Knife and Time in the past, and they've come do incredibly elaborate, like scenic design for their station. I think they had like a circus theme one year. It was truly,
that's neat.
Truly incredible.
Yeah, they're it's an amazing restaurant. By the way, they're going to be in studio on Thursday, so we're excited to see them. And the Bacon Fest again is going to be at UIC April 6th and 7th. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. It's mostly because we want to have a bite of these sandwiches. I'm not going to lie to you. That's going to happen. Like those are two things, like two glorious things happening at the same time, Rich Lenkov, right?
They're
sunshine, baseball, and bacon.
What's more American than that?
I can't think of anything else. Throw in an apple pie. Are there bacon apple pies at this event?
There have been bacon apple pies.
Yeah,
yes.
See? Then they know what they're doing. That's Seth Zurer, co-founder of Bacon Fest, and James Littleman is with us from Baptiste and Bottle at the Conrad Hotel. And he, by the way, you guys you always bring in the best food. So don't ever doubt yourself when you come in.
Thank you so much. I wasn't doubting myself.
A little bit. Everybody on the panel? Did you hear a little bit of self-doubt? Yeah, Paul definitely.
I heard it.
Is it because we identify with self-doubt? Is that why Rich and Seth are like, I didn't see
I think
it.
We all identify with that, and that's what I try and bring to the show.
Confidence is everything.
No, I'm humble. I don't want to like toot my own horn, but hey.
That's why you're not going to win the Bacon Fest contest that we're doing.
I'm sorry?
Wait till.
I want you to record this.
I'm trying to motivate you to win the first annual
motivation.
Bacon Off at the
I
Bacon Fest.
I eat motivation for breakfast with skim milk.
And bacon.
Sir.
Well, that's your first mistake.
I'm actually not allowed to cook.
Correct.
Not allowed to cook
answer.
Bacon in my house. So
why?
No. Jewish?
As the day is long.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how long is the day. I'm just trying to figure out how Jewish you are.
Why can't? Oh, why?
Is it 0% or 100% Jewish?
No. My wife is.
Oh.
Chosen. So
observant.
I myself am Jewish. Co-founder of Bacon Fest.
Yeah, I can smell it.
Yeah, I'm Jewish too.
But, you know, I'm half.
I love bacon.
Pork are my key demographic.
It sticks to the walls, so she eats it. She's a hypocrite.
Sticks to the walls of the house or your arteries. Which one is
you
it?
You can eat it,
the
but house. You can't cook
Why
it.
Why do we have
yeah.
to choose?
That makes sense.
It. Yeah, that makes
you don't
sense.
Have to choose.
Can't cook it in the house.
I'm trying to find a quiz about bacon so I can test.
Oh, I've got some.
Do you really? Okay, let's go.
Off the top of his head.
Off the top of my head.
He's been waiting for this.
What is a bacon explosion?
Uh-oh.
A strip of bacon inside a shot. Bacon wrapped around a filling of spiced sausage.
Whoa.
What's I have a different one? Answer.
Yeah.
It's a family show.
A bacon and chocolate combo.
It's B.
Yeah, I'm going to go with B.
It's a bacon wrapped sausage or bacon wrapped meatloaf.
That's correct.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with B.
That's correct.
Because I had a bacon explosion, but it was.
That was in Thailand.
In college. Yeah. It was a little different. On spring break.
That's
funny.
Why do you assume it's bad?
I didn't say it was bad. It just sounds bad. All right, go ahead. What's here? Studies have shown that bacon appeals to males more than it appeals to females. True or false? Appeals more to males or to females?
I'm going
to
say true. But
I'm going to disagree.
Who asked you anyways? Who is that?
That's Esmeralda.
Oh, never mind. Thank you, Esmeralda. I support
What's
your
the answer?
Opinion.
It looks as though it's true.
Oh!
That is ridiculous.
Bacon. Anyways, what's yours? Paul, go ahead.
I just lost it. All right, here we go.
What was that?
You go ahead and ask.
All right.
I think we're on the same page of bacon.
Which celebrity
questions.
Admitted that she was obsessed with bacon? Katy Perry, Padma Lakshmi? I don't know who that is. Anybody?
Top Chef.
Oh. She's
wow! They just jumped down.
Come on,
my
this is too
knowing.
Easy.
You got to she's good looking or anything, but
low hanging fruit.
Catherine Zeta-Jones or Gwen Stefani?
I mean,
I don't know.
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above. I'm gonna go with though. It is Padma.
Mm-hmm. Oof! I wouldn't have guessed that.
Is there a bacon?
Another
flavor?
Reason to love her for you guys.
Exactly.
There you go.
Oh, here we go. Where was bacon discovered? You can't discover it. You just make it, don't you? That's a stupid question.
It's actually Egypt. That's A. the Pharaoh.
It's not one of the choices.
If you say things with confidence, everyone will believe it.
I believe it was invented in China, James.
I'll stop you right there.
Wait, did Neil Armstrong eat bacon on the moon?
No.
No.
The moon landing
His
was
breakfast
fake,
while touring
so.
The moon right. included delicious bacon squares.
Well, the moon landing is pretty.
James isn't buying that hooey.
I don't
Do you
really.
Think it was bacon goo?
Yeah.
Oh, like in a tube and he just had
oh,
to.
Oh, yeah.
Bleh.
Or that like
it's
dehydrated
a soundstage
stuff.
In Pasadena. Yeah.
Has exactly. bacon been scientifically identified as addictive?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Bacon contains six types of umami. Umami produces an addictive neurochemical response. So, yes.
That's right. And if you need to get a bacon fix.
Yeah.
The appropriate place is Bacon Fest Chicago, April 6th and 7th.
If you're going to have your bacon twitch on, yes, yeah. Hez? What were you going to say, Paul?
Oh, I have a question for them in the quiz realm.
Oh.
I realized we were on the same quiz page, so I switched to a different quiz, Patty.
Excellent, yes.
This is a little harder because those were a little too easy for you. So in the U.S., What percentage of bacon is eaten at breakfast? Do you need multiple choice, or you know it off the top of your head?
Multiple choice would help. But.
Okay. Is it 30%, 50%, 70%, or 90%? What percentage of bacon is eaten at breakfast in the United States of America?
Every day?
Half. It was 50% was an option, right?
Is that your final answer?
That's so many pigs.
Do I get a lifeline?
No. No lifelines.
Final answer.
Okay. Can I get a...
Are you going to do the Price is Right on him? Go 51%.
$1.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
Yes. Same sentence. What percentage of bacon is eaten at breakfast in the United States of America?
What percentage of bacon in existence? I don't understand the structure of the sentence.
Of all the bacon that people eat every day, how much of that is just breakfast?
It would be.
I'm going to say 90, actually.
Okay.
Think of all the bacon cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Point of origin, please.
United States.
United States. I'm going to go with 50%.
Your same answer?
That's a punt.
Samesies.
There's no such thing as
50%. Then Rich said 90. What do you say, Patty?
I said 90.
50. Was it 30, 60, 50?
50 wasn't a choice.
30, 50.
50. I said 50.
70 is the correct answer. Ooh. Everybody is wrong.
Oof.
Hey, I have a question.
S has a question. Yes.
Can you make bacon from other animals other than turkey? Like, I see turkey bacon. Oh, can you do, like, beef bacon?
That's a great question, Esmeralda. Is not bacon. That's gross, actually.
What? But if it's all, you know, bacon. If it's just... Yeah, no, but I mean, like, other animals.
You can put lipstick on a pig, but no pun intended.
And then you make bacon out of it.
No, it's gross. Turkey bacon's gross.
Tofu bacon?
No, but I mean like other bacon. Can you make from other animals?
I have seen like a lamb belly treated like bacon.
So yeah.
Cure and smoke. Ooh. You can cure and smoke anything.
Rabbit?
Right?
But still, that's lamb belly.
It's a whole other deal.
Pork belly is, that's bacon.
So turkey bacon is turkey strips.
Turkey bacon is just like an abomination.
Why are you so angry at turkey bacon?
I just feel like...
I was just using it as an example of other animals.
Well, I don't want to fight either.
She's right across the hall.
Yeah, I'm locking eyes with her right now.
By the way, I ate that sandwich like in 5 seconds flat. It was delicious.
It's so good.
It's turkey bacon.
No, it wasn't.
Exactly.
Because I know turkey bacon. That's not turkey bacon.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
turkey bacon.
We're not here to talk about turkey bacon. We're here to talk about Bacon Fest.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we're very excited about that. So it's going to be done. And obviously, the chefs are coming up with these incredible concoctions.
Mm-hmm. After they apply for the position.
The first annual eating contest
to be a part of this. Yes, mm-hmm. Patty.
So you look back at 9 years of winning dishes by going to baconfestchicago.com and a link on all the images. What have been some of your favorites? What has stood out over the years?
I mean, some of the dishes that stick out for me are things like when people take a dish they like, so James tonight, he took a Mexican torta. You know, it's a great sandwich, avocado and salsa. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to put some bacon in there. I'm going to put some more bacon in there. So, like, I think about a bacon Japanese egg custard I had a couple years ago that Chef Takashi made from Slurping Turtle. And it was like, you know, egg custard and some fava beans and some asparagus and then a sheen of bacon fat on the top and chunks of like slow cooked bacon. And it was just like all these flavors of spring with, like you said, this huge umami bomb of comfort and deliciousness. And that's one that sticks out for me. But also like,
wow,
there was a chef who made a sausage, which was ground up bacon on the inside, and instead of a sausage casing, it was an actual slab of bacon on the outside.
Okay.
So it was bacon stuffed bacon, sliced thin, braised in maple syrup, and then topped with whipped up pancakes.
Come on!
Yeah.
Look at James is like, I'm out.
Who made that?
That was Pat Sheeran, now of City Mouse.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing. And it's like taking it apart, deconstructed it, put it back together, and it's still like every flavor you remember from breakfast from when you're 7 years old, and it's like all those good feelings of being happy around the table. But then it's also this incredible virtuosic display of creativity.
I had a quick question for you. People, you know, people always say bacon makes everything better, which I'm sure you agree with. Mm-hmm. But what's a dish that you've tried that bacon did not work at all well with, that just made you think, nah, this is the exception to the rule that bacon makes everything better? There's got to be something.
Well, I'm not going to say there is. I mean, falafel, that sounds great, right? Bacon wrap falafel? How
probably
can it go wrong?
Sushi. Some of your sweeter things, maybe?
What I find is that in my years of trying hundreds of bacon dishes, I no longer see only good and bad. I see, is this interesting? is this a surprise to me? Is this right. something new? And there might be something which maybe I don't love quite as much, but nothing where I say, hey, this was a wrong choice to put bacon on this.
Right, sure. And who are the judges for this?
We get all sorts of folks. We get some food critics like Mike Sula from the Chicago Reader. What's his name from ABC has come in the past.
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas always comes
Hungry
every
Hound.
Year. But, and then we have folks like Hot Doug from
oh,
Hot
sure.
Dogs. He comes and judges. Ina
he just
Pinkney.
Has a, he just wandering around having a good time. I know.
He's everywhere. He's got a pretty good life. People walk up and are like, hey, Doug, I want you to eat something delicious. Okay, no problem.
Exactly.
When do I show up?
And then he does the same, too.
Yeah. We've had Peter Sagal. So we have a sort of panel of celebrity bacon judges that come in and taste
what
every
What a great
dish.
Title for somebody, celebrity like, bacon judge.
Carl Weathers is actually coming in.
What? Yeah. Apollo Creed?
Apollo Creed.
Action Jackson?
Rocky? That's correct.
Oh, my God.
You may have heard of him.
Let's take a break here. We're hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. If you have any bacon questions, you're free to give us a call. 312-981-7200. No, really. People don't realize they're going to be sitting there like, oh, you know what? I wonder about this, about bacon. Whether it's about Bacon Fest or bacon in general, give us a call, 312-981-7200. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. By the way, we still have two attorneys in the studio. I don't know if we're just staying, but if you have any legal questions or topics in the news, we'll throw them that way.
James and I have some questions.
You have some legal questions? Did it happen during the show?
Am I allowed to say Carl Weathers?
You might. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Rich Lenkoff, who's got a new movie out. He's the better half because it's just out of habit. Rich Lenkoff joins us. He is a co-host of Legal Face Off every Tuesday on WGN Plus. Every week.
You can listen on Tuesday if you want, though. It's the magic of podcasting.
Every week. I've got Tuesday locked in my head because it's Tuesday. I apologize.
And I think I don't think it's Plus anymore.
It's just WGN.
I think we graduated to the big leagues. Regular GN.
Go to WGNRadio.com and look for Legal Face Off, and you'll find Christina Martini and Rich Lenkoff and their podcast, Legal Face Off. Rich also has the new movie. Hold on a second. Let me find about the 85 Bears. I can't find it. Why can't I find the name of it? I know you know
it. I could probably help you.
85, the greatest team in football history.
Very humble.
Yes. Well, you're calling
very
them
subtle.
That. They're not calling themselves
very
that.
Very accurate.
Although I would say that they would call
they
themselves
were.
That.
Damn straight.
And he also has the Rebel of Sports are taking over Las Vegas Strip with Renegades, a new interactive and totally unique show inside Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. So look for Renegades in Vegas when you're there. Paul is the host of the Singles Only podcast. Another one just dropped today with Joey V. Gomez.
And yourself, yeah.
And me.
So I'm queen of common sense on the show.
I don't know about that. I get kind of uncomfortable. I'm married. So I'm supposed to like let people know where they're making mistakes in their singlehood. So, Seth, are you married or are you single?
I'm married.
You are married. So, I mean, do you feel like you can tell single people like how to get through this mess?
Oh my God,
of singledom.
I feel like if this had been the world when I was trying to date people, I don't know how I would have survived.
Oh yeah,
I have no advice to give anybody because it seems like unmanageable.
I agree, Rich. Don't you think so? This isn't.
Yeah, but you have bacon, which helps. Right?
Imagine. Now, maybe, yeah.
Seth is a co-founder. Seth Zurer is the co-founder of Bacon Fest, and they're heading into is it the 9th annual?
10th.
10th. I've heard it both ways. The 10th annual. You can go to Chicago, baconfestchicago.com and find out more about it. Get some tickets. Look at all the previous incredible dishes. Every single one.
Watch the new viral video that sees who gets the last spot for the chef by eating as much bacon as they can. In 1 minute. It's a new contest.
I think you make them do a marathon. I think we do that one with them.
The bacon marathon?
Yeah.
And you throw the bacon at them.
Yeah, just throw bacon.
But just make it 1 mile, because no one's going to be able to do 26 miles of bacon.
There was a group that did a bacon 2K. 5K, but you had two options. You could do a 5K or a 0.05K and just walk like four steps and grab a big bucket of bacon. But that hasn't happened at our Bacon Fest yet.
You can tell them they have to eat a whole thing of bacon in less than 5 minutes, like make it a pound, or the alternative is they have to run the bacon marathon for the last slot.
Or they could just buy a ticket and come to Bacon Fest.
No, that's for the chef. Those are for the chefs. The people that want to get free tickets,
James,
that's
would you
what,
do
how
that
you get
contest?
A free ticket.
I actually...
how do you guys feel about like people having pigs as pets? You feel like that's a complete waste of a perfectly good...
No, I do.
You know, pork belly?
Actually.
That you could eat?
I actually had a pig growing up. No, this is, I'm not even joking around at all. I had a pig growing up. My older sister, Kelsey, she got this black potbelly pig, and she named it, I don't know if I can say this, but she named it Officer. Which is kind of funny, right?
Uh-oh.
Seth got really uncomfortable.
Sorry.
Seth's like, no.
Good luck getting out of this building later. I see your car being towed right downstairs.
Officer, didn't even get it.
No.
Didn't even get it when I was a kid. I was like, oh, officer, come here. But he just pooped everywhere. And like, if you tried to pet it, he'd run away and he'd squeal.
Where was this? Where were you?
Because he knew you were going to be a chef someday.
I grew up in a small town called Mesa, Arizona.
They allowed pigs in Mesa?
Okay. No, and I remember I went on a camping trip for like 8 days in the Boy Scouts, and I came back.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my mom sold my pig, man.
Oh, I thought it was like...
Whole different direction.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was going somewhere else.
Yeah, I never thought it would happen to me.
He kind of sucked, though. But no, pigs are cool. They're like dogs, but not nice and like cuddly.
They bite?
They'll bite you. They'll get you.
Could you eat a...
A dog?
No. Yeah, you can, I guess.
No.
The potbelly pigs, or could people eat those, or no?
I mean, you can milk anything with nipples. So
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Exactly. But yes, you can.
I mean, you got the reference, right?
What
I mean,
is happening?
Meet the parents.
You lost control, Patty.
I know, yeah. But
you get me, man.
I know, but it sounds weird coming out like in studio with Lynch Lynch.
You can milk anything.
Hey, James, milk me. Just this has all gone very strangely, yeah. And yet not surprisingly. I love it. James Littleman is the executive chef at the Baptiste and Bottle, and at the Conrad Hotel. By the way, you worked at Charlie Trotter's.
I did.
Yeah. How was that?
It's good.
Was it dramatic?
No.
Intense?
Not as dramatic as having your officer pig eaten.
Believe it or not.
That's traumatic.
No.
Was it also traumatic?
No, no. It was great. It was very, very intense. I learned a lot. All the people I worked with, they're lifelong friends now.
Oh, that's cool. And Boca.
There's something you're not telling us about this experience.
We'll talk about that off the air. That's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. No, it was great. Great experience. Definitely very intense. Taught me how to be a chef. And
what is the community of chefs like? Because you have sort of this upper echelon of chef. You've got your, who's the guy, Rick Bayless. You got Rick Bayless. You got your, who are the big chefs in Chicago? You have your Stephanie Izzard, right?
Yeah.
The ones that...
Patience. Yeah.
Pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
Paul Kahn.
Yeah, Paul Kahn. Say Lee Wolin.
Is it a community that is supportive, that collaborates? I mean, it's like any other group where you're going to have the superstars who are just kind of like untouchable.
I think like Chicago is it's a really big city, but it's small when it comes to where you've worked, the chefs you've worked with. It's very tight-knit. Everyone supports each other.
Right.
It's great. It's absolutely great. Like, I've worked with people years ago that are now working with me, and hopefully just keep that momentum going.
It's hard right now, too, because I know that people want to be chefs, and then everything else, it's hard to get people who want to put in the time and the, you know, whether it's the effort and the commitment to it, because it's not easy being in the culinary industry, is it?
No, I think you just get what you put into it. You can't expect. I think a lot of people expect things to happen really fast.
Right.
I've been cooking for like 16 years now, and I just became an executive chef 2 years ago. So
how much has changed since you became a chef?
Everything.
Everything.
I thought I was working like long hours, working 10 hours, 12 hours, but I mean, it's nonstop. But it's great. Right. It's really, really great.
Sometimes I feel like you're trying to convince yourself when you say it's great. It's great.
I think I am, too.
It's really, really great. It's really great. It's great.
I think I am, too.
It's so good.
I never see my dog. I never see my wife.
Aww. Yeah. I like that you said your dog first. I'm not going to.
You will never see your wife again now.
She's sleeping.
No, it's kind of like in a movie where you have, like, you know, the last name that appears is also very important.
Yeah.
If not most important, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to help you out with this.
I feel like you're not helping yourself.
I couldn't be happy. I work with a really, really great team. And now I seem like I'm trying to convince myself. No, everything's really great. Everything's great. Don't worry about it, okay? Everything's fine. No, I chose this.
I feel like we need to get him a spa day, is what we...
I feel like you should get me a spa day, too.
No. Don't they give you a discount at the Conrad?
We don't have a spa.
What? I see where part of the problem is. No. Are you going to have a massage table at the Bacon Fest?
Oh, we will have chiropractic adjustments.
What?
We will have chiropractic adjustments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and one year we had a home healthcare company come do blood pressure readings before and after just to see.
They should give a contest.
It didn't turn out to be quite as cool for people because people were a little alarmed at the before and after, but it's, you know, it's one day. It's good. It's delicious. It's bacon.
There should be a contest to see who could have
the highest blood pressure.
Yeah, the biggest change from beginning and after.
That's what we need the advice from the lawyers about. I need a very stringent waiver. I can help.
Get a good release.
Yeah, I can help. I know someone.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm just thinking of contests for this thing.
312-981-7200. Do you have any suggestions for Bacon Fest? I know Seth is already in the throes of organizing and planning. I'm not sure if it'll make it into this year's Bacon Fest. But if you have any ideas, we'll take your ideas for Bacon Fest. By the way, we have confirmed, Michael, that it is going to be Vasculators for the Fight for Air Climb.
Yes,
I was on Steve Cochran's show, and I said the Vasculators, and he started laughing, and I was like, that's perfect.
That's it. It's official.
It is official. So for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 11th. Join our team, the Vasculators. We're going to climb all four towers. You can climb just one. James, you want to climb Presidential Tower, 45 floors?
Don't be stupid.
if there's bacon.
We will have bacon at the top. All right. Well, let's get a quick break here. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. We're down a lawyer. Lawyer down.
Rich left. Yeah.
Yes. He couldn't take it anymore.
We were talking so many legal thoughts with this. Bacon Fest.
Bacon Fest.
We need to get started working on the waiver of liability for him.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many great opportunities that are being missed because Bacon Fest is so popular. Yeah. It sells out. Yeah. Why not make the chefs work for it?
I'm glad I'm here tonight because it's an idea that it wouldn't have occurred to me to force the chefs to eat bacon as quickly as they could to get.
That was just one idea. There's other ideas that you can have to just make them. And you know what? That's going to make them appreciate being a part of such a great idea, great event, is if they earn their way in.
So what I find is that the chefs like to do the event because it's a fun event. They like bacon. And they spend a lot of time, James can attest to this, behind the stove in the kitchen and they don't see their friends. And then we also give a huge amount of money to the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
All good things. So. And you know what? I like everyone getting a ribbon at an event too.
Yeah, sure.
It's a new way. But why not just make it a little competitive and get someone that first place? Just let's bring back greatness to the Rib Fest. That got Patty's attention.
Yeah.
I think that you... Well, here's the thing. Is that I'm distracted and Paul's already is busting me for it. There's a police officer who is arguing with me on Facebook, and I don't understand how an officer on duty wants to have an argument about politics. But Paul, are you nervous?
No, I don't know. We're talking about Rib Fest.
I know. We're talking about bacon. Well, we're talking about Pig Fest.
We're talking
fest.
Rib Fest, baby.
We're talking Bacon Fest.
And so it's distracting me because I'm like, how is he on duty and having an argument on Facebook? Anyway, so that's what's been distracting me for a little bit. Seth just got really uncomfortable. He's like, this is going to take a terrible, terrible turn.
You thought the officer pig thing was bad.
Oh, Patty, I actually thought I smelled bacon for a second, too, so...
Oh boy.
Oof.
Oh boy.
Oof.
So back to my I think that there's how many chefs are a part of it?
About 150 different chefs every year.
So why not make the last 10 work for it? Make them, you know, listen, we have 10 more slots left.
Uh-huh. James, how do you think that would go over with the chefs?
You're going to get some viral content out of it because you're going to say, or just maybe it's like an essay contest. Why do you want to be a part of it?
We do have an annual bacon poetry contest. Mm. There's some excellent bacon poems on our website. I wish I had committed some.
I love competition. That's a free market.
I think a spelling bee would be really great too.
Spelling bee.
Yeah. Different Italian pork products. Mortadella. Go for it.
Country of origin, please.
It's from Emilia Romagna in Italy.
Okay. Could you use that in a sentence? See? No, I did this earlier. I was in a spelling bee in the second grade.
You'll get some good content from the spelling bee, but you also get a lot of content because people like
watch me spell Mortadella.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes. Yeah. Are we going to do a spelling bee for bacon first? I don't know where the button is over here.
A-D-E-L-L-A, mortadella.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
Thank you
so
much.
And that's how we go to a caller. Hold on. We have a listener on the line.
Sorry about that.
We have a listener who has a suggestion for our team for the Baskalators. Hey, Gary, how are you doing?
Hi, Daddy.
Hey, Gary.
I listened to you this morning on the Cochran Show.
Yes.
Thank you. I was counting all the times you mentioned my name.
Sorry about that, Gary. I've got to make sure I've got it in front of me when I say that Gary named the Baskalators.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
To be fair,
you need a slope for the other side of your T-shirt.
Gary, to be fair, I was explaining this to my husband today. You were insistent that it was the Vasquezalators, and there were a couple problems with that. One, it's not how my name is pronounced, but do you hear how good it sounds when you shorten it to Vasquezalators?
No.
Well, that's fine. It's fine. I would never figure out how to spell it, but I got a good. I have a good slogan for the Vasculators.
Okay, what's the slogan?
Well, I don't want to date you, but you have seen Butch Cassidy in the Sundance Kid.
Yes, I have. I know how it ends. Don't spoil it for people, Gary. Yes.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to make sure that you know what I'm talking about when I say...
Raindrops keep falling on my head. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We don't need no stinking elevators.
I love it. We don't need no stinking elevators. That's very good. That's very good. All right, Gary. You've already won the prize for naming our team.
Yeah, I didn't call up to win any. I didn't call up to win any.
I know. I love
that
you're.
I just wanted to tell you.
I love that you're so committed to making sure we have the right name for our team and a good motto. It's a deeply.
Yeah, you're doing it for my wife because, you know, she's got the COPD pretty bad.
Oh, Gary. How's she doing tonight?
I hope she's listening in the other room.
we'll say hello to her if she's listening in the other room. I mean, obviously you just open the door and yell down the hallway. But
all I wanted was that once you make your T-shirt, just have a T-shirt for her. That's it.
Oh, I absolutely will, Gary. Thank you so much. Tell her goodnight for me, okay?
All right, we'll talk to you and have a good night.
All right, have a good night. By the way, we still have some important facts, I think, we have to get to about bacon. We had a trivia quiz earlier, but we did find... So it's China was where bacon was first. They believe bacon was first used.
What? I thought it was German.
He said it was Egypt. What?
Oh, I thought it was Germany.
The Chinese were the first to cook salted pork bellies more than 3,000 years ago. This makes bacon one of the oldest processed meats.
Well, seeing as Egyptians had the...
The Germans that named it because the word bacon comes from the Germanic root bach, and refers to the back of the pig that supplied the meat. So there you go.
Huh. Now we know.
Agree to disagree.
You're still completely wrong, James. It's okay.
That's fine.
Patty?
Yes?
I had a quick update. So, Gary, it's been kind of boggling my mind for the moment. It doesn't have to do with bacon, and I apologize, but nope. I need to address this. He said that the line, "We don't need no stinking badges," is from the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Not true.
Is that correct? Because I think it's from
Blazing
the
Saddles.
Well, and that, before that, was The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Am I right here?
Let's let sleeping dogs lie.
I think you're right. I think did you look it up?
I looked it up and I found it right here.
You're the police. Where are your badges?
Badges?
We
ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Boom.
Okay.
I just needed to make mention of that. Right, Gary, I love you, my friend.
Here. Well, you just broke Gary's heart.
No, he understands. We talk every night, so I just needed to say that out loud.
I thought.
No one was as passionate as about that quote than I was. I thought it would cause some uproar.
Maybe they actually did say elevators in Butch Cassidy and the
Elevators. Oh, maybe they did. I got to watch back again.
I don't know about that.
I mean, because they didn't need an elevator to jump off. Oh, I'm giving it away.
Salty about the Egypt situation.
I think if you were talking about like the new Blade Runner or something like that, you'd be giving it away. But Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
I know. Have you seen the new Blade Runner?
Give it away. I fell asleep. actually.
Okay,
bad.
James, let's talk
about
this.
Sorry about that. I know they're sponsoring this show, but it's the worst movie ever.
No, it isn't. I don't know, but let's not say that. Is it the worst movie ever? I thought you were going to say you fell asleep because you were tired. I fall asleep at movies all the time.
Really? I do that too. But
I've been getting so tired, yeah. But I don't. A lot of people I know love Blade Runner, so I can't.
Blade Runner, yes. Blade Runner, Ryan Gosling, the hunk.
Yeah,
I couldn't even do it for me.
Are you a Ryan Gosling gal?
I like him. I liked the movie, but yeah, you're good. That's kind of fighting words for a lot of people.
I know. I was going to say,
bring it.
The moms are going to be outside.
I don't get Ryan Gosling as a heartthrob.
He's a hunk.
Yeah. Chris, what's his name? Hemsworth is a hunk.
Hunk of
what's the difference
something,
between
something
Chris Hemsworth
heart,
and Ryan Gosling? Adorability.
And,
what?
What's the difference? You said one was a heartthrob and one was a hunk. What's the?
Well, I think they're both.
Let's say you're in a burning building, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seventh floor, radio station. Who would you rather have carry you out? Chris Hemsworth.
The building does not need to be on fire.
Yeah, he's bigger, isn't he? He's stronger.
It's time now for our news.
Whatever.
It's time now
Proof
for
is
our...
in the pudding.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire.
Got those potty mouths out of here.
They were great. That was a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
I know that we kind of meandered a little bit in our conversation from Bacon Fest and the 85 Bears, which is Lincoln's new movie, and also his what a great idea. For a show in Vegas, Renegades.
Yeah, especially in Vegas.
That's such a great idea. And of course, James Lintelman, the executive chef at Baptiste and Bottle. And I got the feeling that he really needs me to come to that restaurant. I don't get a chance to go out to eat anymore. I haven't even been to Knife and Thyme, which is my favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change that this week. So maybe I'll go on Tuesday to one of these days to Baptiste and Bottle. I will go there.
I had a sponsor for our show, Drink Day Laugh, and it's a great restaurant in Lincoln Park, and they've invited me to go for 2 years now, and it's literally a block away from my house, and I haven't gone.
Really?
It's a fondue place, Gay House.
You've never been to Gay House?
I've never been there, and I heard it's amazing, and they're like, please. They sponsor Drink Day Laugh, and I haven't gone.
It's a great restaurant.
It is. That's what I heard. But
have you ever been to Gay House?
I haven't. By the way, Restaurant Week
it
started. Yeah, it started until February 8th. So
is Arby's in that?
No.
Arby's. I love Gay House. It's all fondue. It's all like they've got cheeses. They've got all kinds of different meats that you. It's interesting because you do end up doing kind of your own cooking.
Yeah, it's fondue, which I don't like those kind of places where you cook. I mean, what's the point if you're going to do the?
It's fun though. It's very
but I heard
fun.
It's a date night thing.
It's definitely a date night thing.
I gotta find a date for this. Ugh, it's like another level of stress.
I'm sorry about that.
Because with hours. People following the hours.
I'm trying to find my. It's funny because I store a lot of emails. Like in the middle of the night, I'll find a topic and I'll email it to myself. And I guarantee you, I have probably 1,000 emails to myself. And I've talked about maybe 2 of the topics that I find in the middle of the night.
Oh, right.
Do you ever email yourself stuff?
I do my notes. There's like a note thing, but you don't have a iPhone, so
I don't.
But I like it. It's a notes thing. It has all my jokes and then all my comments and stuff.
My son sent me a topic. I know. This was something he goes, Mommy, have you heard about greyhound therapy? Right? And I thought, oh, you know, maybe they're using retired race dogs, right, Esmeralda? For as therapy animals. It's not what it is.
I thought it was the drink, greyhounds,
no.
Which is vodka and grapefruit juice.
There's a piece that that my son sent me. It was actually written by Dan Rather, and this is a couple of years ago, but I had never heard of this. There was a young schizophrenic man deboarded a Greyhound bus in Sacramento, California. He had been placed on the bus by a Las Vegas psychiatric hospital and was told to call 911 when he arrived. And it's estimated that he was just one of 1,500 patients in Las Vegas that were just put on a bus and told to call 911 in whatever city they arrived in. I'm as shocked and as surprised. It's true. There are hospitals that are putting patients who they can no longer care for because they either don't have the funds for it anymore or and they put them on a Greyhound bus and tell them to call 911 when they arrive, which so many things are wrong with this, but it is where we are now with our level of caring for people who are challenged and find themselves in a place in their life where they aren't able to cope. And this is what we talk about, too, is we talk a lot whenever there's violence, whenever there's, you know, an outbreak, of whether it's a mass shooting, we talk about, well, we're not dealing with mental illness. Yeah. This is, we're not just not dealing with it. We are
kicking it.
Not just kicking it to the curb.
Town, we
are
literally.
Yeah, well, we're hurting each other by this. These are human beings, you know. And we talk about what we want to spend money on and who we want to spend money on. And these are Americans.
Yeah.
One gentleman is a veteran who had been put on the bus. This is just like, I am so appalled. And these are the kinds of stories, by the way, Esmeralda. Again, this was a story sent to me by my son. He's 14 years old. He goes, "Mommy, you need to talk about this story."
He's woke.
he is woke. Would you ever even imagine that we saw that video that went viral last month of the hospital in Philadelphia. Was it Philadelphia or Baltimore?
I think it was Baltimore.
Baltimore.
They just left someone.
At a bus stop.
Yeah.
They didn't even bother putting her on a bus. Wow. And she was still in her hospital gown.
Yeah. They just gave her clothes.
They walked her out of the hospital and just threw her at a park bench. Yeah. I don't understand what's happening.
Isn't there some Hippocratic Oath or something?
I don't know that first do no harm. But do the every level of the medical professionals take that at the hospital? I mean, was that just a...
Not a doctor.
Maybe it wasn't a doctor that put her out on the curb.
Huh.
Yeah, but I've never heard of this story. We are also, let's lighten it back up again. And now that I've told you a horrible story that my son wanted me to share. You know, KJ, I'm with you. I've never done this either. Tell us what you've never done before.
Been a cruise.
You've never been on a cruise?
No, and my sister has been on 12 of them.
Wow.
Does she want you to go with?
No, and a doctor asked me, he said, are you going on the cruise with her? I said, I cruise in my apartment.
Do you not want to go on a cruise? Do they frighten you a little bit?
Well, I think it's probably timing.
Okay.
You know, when I say timing, when she goes with a friend. In September, October.
In September, October. Oh, okay, and that's not a good time of the year for you to go?
Well, I'm retired now, but some reason she just went to Nova Scotia. She took a Canadian trip.
Well, if you're interested in doing it, you should find some time to fit it in your schedule. She should line it up with you if she's a good sister.
No, she has a friend who likes her boss, a female boss. They've been on cruise. But she does bring me back T-shirts and sweatshirts.
Well, she is a good sister.
So thoughtful.
Yes.
Well, I was in a doctor's office, and I had one of those shirts on, and the doctor said, "How do you like it?" And I said, "Don't ask me. Ask my sister."
Yeah, no kidding. My sister went on a cruise, and all I got was a stupid shirt.
Yeah.
Too funny. KJ. Well, hopefully you find time to get on that cruise with her.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I've never been on a cruise. I know a lot of comics actually work cruises.
Yeah.
A lot more lately that I know have been. Lenny Schmidt, Nate Weatherup have been performing on cruises. I'm trying to think of some other folks. Oh, I know Dobie Maxwell
Townsend,
has been doing.
Frank Townsend just was talking about when we were on a show together.
How did he like it?
He loves it.
Yeah.
I've heard both ways, though. I've heard people hate it, too. So.
Yeah, it depends. I've never wanted to be trapped with my audience.
That's the common complaint.
Yeah, if you're like walking, you know, just trying to mind your own business or work out. There's the comedian.
Which is when you're in a small town that happens anyway.
It can, yeah.
I mean, I remember you're like, oh, this is really cool. And then for 2 seconds and then 2 minutes later, you don't like it anymore.
I don't think I can handle it. We were sharing a story that my son Griffin sent to me about a hospital in Las Vegas that placed a mental patient. Actually, the records have shown that they've done this probably about 1,500 times when they have decided that they no longer have the ability to care for a mental health patient. They put them on a bus, on a Greyhound bus, and tell them to call 911 when they arrive in the city. The last destination. And joining us, Judy wanted to comment on this. Hey, Judy, how are you doing?
I am doing fine.
Thank you for calling.
You know, this is going to get me on my soapbox.
Get up there.
If I don't trip getting up on it.
All right. We'll hold you up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The problem is, and it really angers me, is that if a person had a broken arm or a broken leg, it would be fixed. It would be set until it healed. But because mental illness, you can't see into the brain, people just ignore it and let the people go, knowing that their illness is just as debilitating as being perhaps in a car wreck or breaking something.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, we can't see God, but yet we believe in God, many of us. But, I mean, because we don't see it doesn't mean that there isn't the existence. And the same thing is with mental health, and it's deplorable.
And the funding for mental health programs throughout the country is...
It is.
And particularly in the state of Illinois, I know in Michigan they're struggling, including, again, services for veterans, you know, with a high rate of PTSD and other mental health issues. And the community in general, it's disheartening to hear that we aren't bothering to take care of each other. And, you know, my friend Steve Cochran,
you know,
go ahead.
I was talking with a Korean veteran the other day. He was wearing a hat. And I thanked him for his service, and he still has problems sitting through fireworks.
Oh. Yeah, I can.
I mean, that's a very long time ago. They're in their 80s now.
Can you imagine your whole life still having to deal with the trauma and not being able to find the help? We've in so many areas of health, we've come a long way. The technology we have, as you mentioned, to fix a broken bone, or if somebody has an appendectomy. I can't get the word out. I don't know why I chose that one, Paul. I had to go a different direction. But, it, you know, all the different things, whether it's cancer treatment or, I mean, the wide range of things that we're able to do medically. But you're right, if we can't see it, it's not something that we treat. There's also a stigma. People don't know the warning signs of maybe when they're starting to get a little bit of trouble, or somebody in their life who maybe is struggling with depression. We don't want to say anything. We just figure, well, they'll just shake it off, they'll be fine, you know. People don't want to go to therapy.
No, the bravest thing is to acknowledge and know when you're not feeling right and getting some help.
I agree.
But there's this darn stigma that is still attached to mental health.
It is.
Yeah, but I mean, it's gotten a lot better in the sense that people are now acknowledging it, and there's still a lot of work to be done. But at least
I feel like people feel good if they just acknowledge it, and that's it.
I feel like, you know, even five years ago, people would be hesitant to say that they've seen therapists. But now it seems like it's very common, and people are well aware of the need for mental health.
I agree.
So I think we're moving in the right direction.
But I hope so.
They do need to.
Very, very slow.
Yep.
It is. It's a process. But as long as we keep showing up and having these conversations. Thank you so much, Judy. That was not soapboxish at all. That was passionate.
Nope.
Oh, no, I'll trip.
No, don't. Be careful. But if you do break something, you can get it fixed. Thank you so much. Bye, Judy. Lovely to hear from you.
Bye.
Bye. Talk to you again soon. Next, we have another caller who wants to join the conversation. For Peter, he wanted to join us. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Patty. My brother just moved into a small town called Hemet, California.
Okay.
And it happens to be the destination for Los Angeles to put people, homeless people, on buses. They just give them a ticket to Hemet, and that's it.
Wow.
And they've been doing it for years.
I had no idea.
So this isn't something new. I didn't hear all of your conversation about this, but when I came in on it, all I could think of is what my brother was telling me about the homeless coming to Hemet.
Wow. Yeah, it's like, you know, a community decides, well, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to see somebody, because there are a lot of people who are homeless who also struggle with mental health issues.
And it's a NIMBY.
Not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, it is very gut-wrenching to hear that we're not doing better for each other.
Well, I just want you to know that when I heard this about this with the mentally ill,
yes,
I was just flabbergasted because it's a parallel to what they're doing with Los Angeles, throwing their out there in the desert. In a little town called Hemet is got a huge now homeless population.
Well, what we'll need to do is talk to some folks and get some experts on to talk about what we can do individually. I mean, that's the only thing we can wrap our arms around right now is on the personal level. But I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. And the more we know, the more informed we are, knowing about other communities. As you mentioned, Hemet, we mentioned Las Vegas shipping off people who the community no longer wanted to care for and just sending them to other cities and just saying, hey, when you get there, call 911. And then you put a strain on our first responders, on the police department, on the hospitals and other communities. So it's a strange.
Oh, they're not even doing that at Hemet. They're just, these people are just showing up and wandering around panhandling and
right.
From the panhandler.
Right. Wow. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your comments and thoughts.
Take care.
You too. We'll talk to you again soon. Did I take a break at 15? Am I super late? I'm so lost. I've lost time. Michael, do I need a break here? Michael's taking some calls. I do have one more break. It's such a disappointing story, and I can't believe that we're, not doing better.
Yeah.
That I got lost in thought. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. He's also the host of the podcast Singles Only, and you can catch that on iTunes.
Also on iHeartRadio as of last week.
Congratulations.
Just
got put on. Yeah. Look at you.
Really excited.
And you also have a weekly show at Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory on Friday, Drink, Date, Laugh. It's a fun dating show, a relationship, where we give away a $100 gift card to the best story from the crowd. And gift cards to Gay House Cafe, which we talked about earlier.
I love the Gay House Cafe. It's so good. I was actually thinking about taking my son Griffin there just to see if. I mean, it is a romantic place, but I think it'd be. My parents took me to cool places when I was a kid that I still now go to. Like my mom took me to Gay House Cafe when I was a kid, and some of my favorite restaurants I still go to because she started taking me to nicer restaurants when I was a kid. So
let's go.
I was thinking about maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll take Griffin for something to eat before I forget. Before we take our call from our friend Harold. Don't forget that tonight, Tuesday night at the Zanies in Rosemont, is our event for Larry Reeb. He's one of our very own in the Chicago community and one of Chicago's best comics. He has recently lost his wife, Kathy, and we are all mourning with him and want to show our support and love for him to get him through this incredibly tough time. I want to thank one of our listeners who came to the event that I did last week with Kevin Bozeman and with Andy Woodhull at the Tivoli because she handed an envelope to Kevin Bozeman as a donation for Larry. So I want to let you know that we did get that,
great.
Kevin has that, and we'll have it at the event. Tickets are only $20, and all the proceeds, every dollar, and the wait staff is even turning over their tips.
Yeah.
The profits from the drinks are all going towards Larry's fund. So show you care for Uncle Lair, and that's tomorrow night at Zanies in Rosemont. Go to the Zanies webpage and click on the Rosemont page. They also have a Facebook page
tonight
for the event. So that's tonight, Tuesday night. I was mentioning earlier an article that my son Griffin was very upset by. There are studies that by some estimates, 1 in 4 Americans suffer from a diagnosable mental illness, which includes depression, post-traumatic stress disorders. But we really don't talk that much about mental health. And one of the reasons we're talking about it right now is that Griffin was really upset to learn that in Las Vegas, it has become practice, or it has in the last few years. They've been sued since the story broke. It was in 2014, but they continue to struggle with how to care for patients who have mental illnesses. What they were doing was putting somebody on a bus who they no longer could care for and send them to California and say, when you get there, when you get to Sacramento, California, call 911, basically saying, not our problem anymore. You're somebody else's problem. And that's really the biggest part, too, is that we're saying it's a problem. A person is a problem. And I guess we're all kind of maybe by nature, we're more inclined to take care of ourselves and the people in our homes, maybe our neighbors. But when we say that a person is a problem and not worth helping, who have we become? Joining us is one of our listeners. Harold, what do you want to say about this?
Hello. Hi, Eddie.
Hello. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Why do I get like a pick on my radio top?
Are you getting an echo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if our other callers were having the same problem because it sounded like we might be having a little bit of a feedback. Hold on a second. Let me try a different button for you. 1 second. Stand by. Let me try. I'm going to switch the line. All right, Michael, let's try this one. Harold, does that sound any better?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Is that better?
No, it's not.
Harold, I'm sorry.
Anyways, I can deal with it.
Okay, go ahead.
So the guy that was talking about him, I've never heard of him. But I was in San Francisco about 12 years ago, and every tour we went on, people, the tour guy, they had a huge problem with homeless people because every cold call, they'd send them on a bus to San Francisco.
I think we're having some trouble hearing you, Harold. Let me see if Michael can check your phone.
Yeah, so Harold wanted to mention he went on a trip, and I guess in San Francisco, the tour guides were telling that a lot of the homeless people who live out in California were giving tickets to go to warmer areas just so they could remain warm for some time. And there's a big issue with mental health. I'm going to talk to Harold and get this all squared away, and we can get him back on in a second. But,
right.
You know, it's just the case that there's a lot of displacement with these people who need help the most, and I think that's what he wanted to bring to the table.
Thank you so much for that, Harold. We're going to go to the news and see if we can straighten that out the phone lines. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's estimated that 1 in 4 Americans suffers from a diagnosable mental illness. And how we care for each other, it defines who we are, I think, as human beings, as Americans. And in Las Vegas, they discovered that a schizophrenic man who disembarked from a Greyhound bus in Sacramento, California, had been placed on the bus by a Las Vegas psychiatric hospital and was told to call 911 when he arrived. And this is beyond just shuffling patients around or just discharging them and hoping that they do their best. This is literally sending them to another community and saying, you know what, that person's your problem now. Harold, what do you want to share with us?
Yeah, I was saying earlier that here we go with the phone again.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think it might be from this end because I talked to you when we were off the air. Let me just try one more button real quick. Are you getting the echo back?
I don't know. No, there it is.
There it is. Again, this is one of those weird things where it's like you're hearing yourself. Stand by. Let me try again. How about there, Harold? Hold on. Let's see if I can do this. Oh, I hung up on him. That's not what I was trying to do to solve it. Harold, we appreciate your thoughts. I think we're having too much trouble with that phone line right now. Michael, that's not how I solve problems. Oh, sorry. You're not there anymore. That wasn't my intention.
Click.
No. Okay. I did not mean to do that. So I know that, by the way, the legislature is coming back in Springfield. So one of the other issues that will be coming up is funding for social services, including mental health illness and care for those who suffer from mental health issues. We will hopefully talk to one of our friends, perhaps one of the friends of the show, Representative Martwick, Representative Feigenholz, I know is very involved. And, you know, you've got to take care of yourself. We talk about going in for exams, getting breast exams, getting your checkups. This is one of those things, too. Check in with yourself. And I know that sounds weird or corny, but how are you doing? You know, take a deep breath. I was sitting down with my mom last night. She's making plans to go to Mexico. And I realized that she was like gasping for air. And I was like, Mommy, are you okay? And she realized that she was taking shorter breaths because of how much stress she's in. And you don't realize how much that builds up.
Yeah.
So got to check in with yourself. By the way, one of the things that she's very happy with, I bought her one of those robotic vacuum cleaners. And she's very thrilled with that. Do you have one of those, Az? Or would your cat let you have one?
No, I don't. No, I don't have. I don't have enough
floor space.
Yeah, I would probably just run into the walls too much. It's pretty narrow in my house.
It seems to handle getting around the floor pretty well. Do you have one of these, Paul? You don't have
no.
Michael, you do, don't you?
To do what?
The Roomba. Do you have a robotic?
Oh no, but I've always wanted one more than anything in the entire world.
More than making a hard-boiled egg.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
If I had one that could clean my house and make a hard-boiled egg, that'd be the greatest thing in the entire world, but no.
Did you make the hard-boiled egg because you saw the movie Shape of Water?
Oh, do they make hard-boiled eggs in that movie?
Pretty much a lot. I don't know why, but there's a lot of hard-boiled eggs in the movie.
You know, I think that I saw something on Etsy, and they were talking about making the perfect hard-boiled egg, and where you bake it, and it's supposed to peel off in one perfect, like,
I've heard of this thing,
and I wanted to try it out.
Well, baking an egg is different from boiling an egg, though. Did you bake an egg?
I baked an egg.
Oh, you baked an egg. That's different. You said, Paul, you said he boiled an egg.
I made it a hard-boiled egg, but I thought they were one and the same. I'm so new to cooking, so.
That's different.
Oh,
baking an egg is not boiling an egg.
Oh,
what?
He yeah, baked but you, an egg. But you baked it in the shell.
Made it into the shell.
In the shell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't. But I've never baked an egg either, so that's a totally different thing. Have you ever baked an egg?
I've, well, not in the shell. Cracked it in a ramekin.
This is a whole different thing.
It.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely.
Bring back that chef.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's going to be a game changer
now
right now.
Laughing.
I don't know.
Wait, but have you boiled an egg before?
I have not.
Okay.
Not hard boiled egg. I baked the egg, but
I haven't either.
It is a dream. I want to become a better chef because I heard somewhere that women like guys who can cook.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out how to do.
Yes.
And the hardest thing you can make is eggs.
Really?
Yeah, because they're so delicate.
Oh.
You can make them rubbery and gross in a matter of seconds.
I make great scrambled eggs, though.
You make good scrambled eggs?
Great scrambled eggs.
Great.
Yeah, I have a secret.
Okay. What's your secret? I can't tell me. I made the quickest, easiest dish, and I mentioned this before. I still can't believe how easy this is. It's just ground turkey with a half a jar of salsa, some cheddar cheese, and a little bit of taco seasoning. And I put that in a pie crust, and then I cover it with some cheese, taco pie. Super easy. Ez is not pleased.
I think that's what that is.
Taco bite.
I used to make my own pizzas with tortilla bread and then put cheese and then another layer of tortilla bread and then tomato sauce.
Yes.
And then I put like seasonings and it was the best tortilla pizza.
That sounds really good.
Double layer. Yeah. It's really good.
I am in love with this taco pizza. It's just the easiest. Jar of salsa. I'm done. I fed my family. I haven't been cooking that much lately. I feel like all we do is eat like rotisserie chickens because it's just so easy. And like pre-made. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I mean, that seems like, you said it's so easy. To me, that seems complicated.
What, a rotisserie chicken?
Well, you just put it in the oven?
It's no, already it's already cooked. Made. It's already cooked. Mariano's cooks it for me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Then that's just take
it's
home.
It's really good though. So what I try to make it fancier, right? So by the time it gets home, it's kind of cool. So I wrap it in tinfoil with some lemon juice, olive oil, and salt. So
that
at least
you put on after.
Yes. So and I put it in the oven, so I feel like I've done something. Just to make myself feel legit as a mom who cooks at Esmeralda. That's what I'm going for.
Okay. Well, how does it turn out?
It's great. It's very juicy. You know, because it's got the steam in there from the tinfoil.
When I used to make ramen noodles, the ramen noodle, the basic ones, I'd put like soy sauce and different spices in it, and it made me feel like I was doing more than just.
Oh, I always classed up my ramen noodles. Yeah. I put like all kinds of veggies in there.
Let's not get crazy.
I make my own little sauce, like with a little bit of the mustard that you get from all the Chinese restaurants.
Oh yeah, I would do that too.
It's really good.
It's a good call.
We are talking. We're having all kinds of conversations, and we are still talking about mental health issues and how are we caring for each other. Gary wanted to share something. What do you want to say, Gary?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. I want to say in the 80s, in Illinois, that the health center was shut down, and everybody else, they were all put on the street.
Gary, I think we're having, let me try this other button. Michael, should I try this other button one more time? Because we're having trouble on this one, too. Hold on a second. Gary, let me try this. Go ahead.
Yes.
How's that sound?
Okay.
Are you hearing an echo?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, they were just put out on the street.
Yeah, they put out on the street. You know, a lot of cuts in the funding for the mentally ill. It's devastating for so many people. We're gonna try and see if our phone lines are okay. We don't know whose end it's on, but Michael's checking the phone line right now. I think it might be. There's a ghost in our machine, Paul. No one wants us to talk to our listeners tonight.
Also a great album by The Police, 1984.
Ghost in the Machine.
Speaking of the 80s.
Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched the clips afterwards. I didn't get to see him live because I had a show. But
right.
But I did see Sting was on there, and they did a cool song.
That's what I heard.
He did a thing with Shaggy. He has a song with Shaggy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a new hit, which is horrible.
I was impressed with the wide range of reactions. People either thinking it was too political or that it was just right.
I didn't think it was too. I mean, I saw the political portions that they played on the news as the broadcast. I'm like, there was nothing different than there has been in the past. I mean,
yeah,
not that I saw at least, but what do I know?
Mark, what do you think about our funding and our care for the mentally ill?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
This is Mark from Milwaukee. I'm calling from the guy with the theater company.
Oh, the theater company. Yes, we would love hearing from you.
Boulevard. And I'm calling to say that if we save the money from the wall for the immigrants, we could either care of people who have these challenges, or I don't know, maybe let's build more walls around them.
I know. And people would say, here's the thing, is if they do make a deal in D.C. to use $25 billion to build the wall in order to help 1.8 million people achieve citizenship over the next 10 to 12 years, there would be people who would say, that, well, then we need to do both. You know what? If we're going to do that, then we need to do all of it. Or, you know, we should be able to take care of the most vulnerable and those who are suffering. I agree with you.
Could we build a wall around the politicians?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I think if you wall off the politicians, either they'll get out or you'll have other people on the outside of the wall who are like, well, then I'll take over the job. There's always going to be someone to fill the void.
You've got my vote.
Good to hear from you, Mark. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear the State of the Union address tomorrow. Are you planning to listen or watch?
I'm going to try to, but I got a show and I've got to run around tomorrow right around the time it's going to be on.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the event for Larry Reeb.
I'm going to try to go there too because I've got a meeting out in the suburbs and I'm going to try to go in between that and my show downtown.
All right, what show do you have downtown?
I'm headlining at the House of Blues Foundation Room.
Oh, cool.
But it's not, I think the show's at 9, so I've got time to go say hi to Larry.
Yeah, you got some time. The show, I believe, in Rosemont starts at 7 o'clock. Is it 8?
I thought it's 8.
I thought it was at 7.
You're probably right.
Well, maybe we should go to the website.
I'm never going to question anything you say anymore because every time I do, I'm wrong. So I don't want to, being that we're both debaters and ENTJs, I don't want to create any more.
It's not that you're wrong, it's that I'm right.
You're more right.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that I'm right. I'd say that I like to be right. I do. You know,
who doesn't like to be right?
I think there's some people who can live with that, with being wrong.
Not us.
Not
debaters.
Us. No, it goes against our
ENTJ,
our natural character.
Correct.
It is. It's almost time for us to wrap up. When we come back, tell me something good. 312-981-7200. What do you celebrate tonight? More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are wrapping up. Nick D is up next in studio. We've been hanging out with comedian Paul Farvar. Do you have something good to tell me, Paul?
I do. We recorded our new podcast today with me and Mike Hardboiled Heideman.
What's your new podcast now?
It's two guys, one album. We review an album every week.
I saw you guys post something like that, and I was like, okay.
So we recorded one today, which was one of my favorite albums. Well, it's not going to release for a couple weeks,
tell us what album it is.
But you're going to have to guess. If you guys follow me on Instagram, I did give a hint about it, which is at Paul Farvar. But our first one was last week. Mm-hmm. We dropped it last Wednesday. It was Weezer's Blue album. It was really fun. It's fun. Because it's Michael's, one of his favorite albums, and hearing the stories about why, it's kind of cool. There's personal stories about Michael that I did not know.
Uh-oh.
There are some good ones. I mean, that album touches close to my heart, but that's the beauty of this new podcast. It's like the albums that, it's like the soundtrack to your life almost.
Yeah.
So it's cool to find the music that we are going to be listening to and then the stories behind them. We did a new one today, and Paul had a lot of great stories that he shared, and we had a few laughs, and you can subscribe on Sound Sessions podcast, and I think we're going to be trying to transition it into its own thing pretty soon, and it's a good
when's
time.
When's the new one coming out, Michael?
On Wednesday. at 3 o'clock in the morning, so it'll be available all day.
Oh, right. It's Cranberries, right?
The Cranberries with Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, No Need to Argue. That's one this week. It's going to be fun.
Excellent. So that's, again, on Sound Sessions. Is it WGN Radio?
Yes. In fact, it is.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. My something good is that I kind of spent the weekend just hunkering down with the family, just hanging out, didn't run around.
I didn't hear from you all weekend.
I know. Sorry about that. I just I laid low and just kind of, you know. I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, Griffin is now 14, on the verge of graduating from eighth grade. So I have only 4 years left before he flies away from the nest and goes off to college. So I'm trying to spend as much time with him as possible. And Declan's doing this thing where, and he's been doing this for like the last few weeks. Declan, who is not able to speak, he is 12 years old and has a neurological disorder that makes it hard for him to coordinate language and critical thinking and gross motor skills and fine motor skills. He's been doing this thing where, like, when he really likes something, he turns around and looks at me and has this look on his face that's like, this is amazing. But lately he's been coming up to me when he's playing. He has an iPad, which he loves. He loves being able to control, like, you know, when all of us are watching TV, we don't generally watch the things that he's interested in. And what he likes to watch, we'll like have, like, he loves, like, you know, Mickey Mouse's Club Playhouse, or, you know, he likes Little Einsteins. And so we'll have that on for a while, and then we're like, all right, it's our turn to watch TV. And we give him an iPad, and he loves that because he can control whatever he wants to watch. Like, he'll watch like Toy Story, or there's, you know what he likes? He likes a video of I Beat the Law. I Fought the Law and the Law Won. That's the one.
The song?
He loves the song. I don't know how it came up in his like YouTube search or something, but he'll get a song that he really likes, and he comes into the living room and looks at me and like holds it up and like starts to dance a little bit and looks at has a. I wish I knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing, is that like he has this look on, he's like, he wants to share this song with me, and I don't know what it is he's expressing, but I like hang there as long as he wants.
Sure.
And I take it all in. I was, Paul, you weren't here last week. I was telling us and our listeners and Michael that Declan is absolutely consumed with laughter when I sing one of my Girl Scout songs. It's the Noah's Ark song. It's the Rise and Shine song.
Let's hear it.
I've done it before. The Lord said to Noah, there's gonna be a floody, floody. The Lord said to Noah, there's gonna be a floody, floody. Get those children out of the muddy, muddy children of the... Anyway, Declan loses his mind.
What's the second verse?
No, I'm not gonna do that. I know. You're just enjoying it because I never sing. I never sing on the air. So rise and shine. See, it makes you laugh too.
That's funny, yeah.
It's very silly. But it makes him giggle till he like falls over. Like one day he was laughing so hard he turned around to run and he like ran into a wall. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. He's like absolutely consumed with laughter. I mean, I know I'm a bad singer, but Declan he can't get enough of laughing at me. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight, Patty?
Very well. What do you want to tell us?
I'm getting a lot of feedback. I don't know if it's on your...
Michael, he's getting... Rich is also getting an echo on his phone. Do you have a radio on in the background?
Nope.
No, but you're hearing yourself back?
Yeah.
All right. While you interrupt yourself, try to tell us your something good.
I just had my six month checkup with my oncologist,
and
he says I'm still cancer free. And if he was to give me a grade like in school, he'd give me an A+.
That's amazing. I'm so glad to hear that, Rich. That is truly something good. Are you trucking tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in Indiana.
You're in Indiana right now? How are the roads? You getting any weather?
No, a little bit of snow.
Yeah.
But I'm on a 2-lane country road, so.
All right. Well, stay safe. And everyone driving around, Rich, well, everybody in general, stop texting on your phone, all right? While you're driving.
Yeah.
Paul. Yeah. Be safe out there.
All right.
Got a job to do. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate that. It is, Rich was one of our listeners who got a reading by Dr. Lars Dingman, and Dr. Dingman told him that he was going to be facing a challenge that he would be able to overcome, and it turned out to be lung cancer, and Rich has since had surgery, he's been in recovery, and as you heard, he is 6 months cancer-free.
That's awesome.
That is amazing. I know how hard it is for some of our friends. I have a very good friend right now who's going through. She thought she was in remission, was hoping that she was going to get the all clear, and she did not. But she is a warrior, and she is battling that currently, and we wish her all the very best. And but I was saying that Declan just is has just been so funny lately. Ez, do you have anything you want to celebrate? You don't have to. You know, I always feel like I put you on the spot. You didn't celebrate nothing.
I did make some tasty burgers today.
You did?
They actually had bacon, so I've been eating a lot of bacon today.
All the bacon.
Bacon and mushroom.
Have you been doing more Ez and Colin eating food videos?
We haven't, because his schedule always gets in the way.
Gotcha.
Because I'm free, but he's not. But yeah, we have plans to do some, but we just have to get together.
Get on the same page.
Yeah.
They ate spicy ramen one day. That was very good.
I love ramen. It's my favorite thing.
It's your favorite thing?
Favorite thing.
Well, there you go.
Good ramen.
Where are some of your favorite places? Because that one place is too salty.
I like Furious Spoon.
Yeah, but that's the one that's too salty.
No, the one we went to. Which one? The one on... We didn't go to that. Did we go there? We went to the one on Diversity. I forgot what that's called. But
that
Furious Spoon
that
is awesome.
Yeah.
But the only problem is the music's so loud there. I feel like I'm an 80-year-old man complaining. But the food is amazing. I think that one. And there's a new one that opened across from the Laugh Factory that everyone smells really good.
Oh, yeah. I told you. I stopped.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Belmont.
Right.
That place is great. And it's affordable.
It's fast food, though, right? You take
it's
it
just
out?
A ton of, well, they have a couple tables. Yeah. But it's at Belmont near Broadway.
Let's go to that then when we do the podcast this week.
It's so good.
Because another person told me about it this week and they said it was amazing.
Okay. Yeah, so. I love that place. Plus, they also have Bami. Not Bami. What's the one in the...
Edamame?
No, in the big stone bowl as the Korean dish?
Bibimbap.
Bibimbap. Yeah, they have that too. It's really good.
I'm baby steps. Let's just stick
Let's go with the ramen. The ramen first. I agree. And Slurping Turtle is really good. We have
I haven't had theirs.
And ramen right here on Hubbard. A lot of there was a great line in Grace and Frankie, and Lily Tomlin is great. But she has there's a funny scene with her talking about ramen noodles, and I have been thinking about ramen noodles ever since. Grace and Frankie is the
I know the show.
It's so good.
I don't have Netflix.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, I'm not sorry.
What do you mean you're not? All right. I'm not saying I'm sorry. You don't have to be sorry. It's just something
I'm not sorry.
Okay, then. I don't know why you got to argue with me during something good. What are you doing?
No,
Rich calls. Rich calls to tell us that he's got the all clear, 6 months cancer free.
And here we are arguing over ramen.
I'm saying.
What's going on?
These are weird problems. Oh, you know, I didn't have a chance to ask you about what'd you think about the Cleveland Indians announcing that they were going to eliminate their symbol, the Wahoo.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's great.
In 2019.
That's fine.
They're going to draw down.
Redskins are next.
I don't know about that. But people are very upset about it. There's, you know, people want their symbols.
That's something we were talking this weekend off the air. I told you that I was talking to a Trump supporter this weekend. After one of my shows, and we were talking about the Pocahontas comments that our president makes.
If we all can have a conversation without getting our panties in a wedge, we'll all be better. That's all there is to it.
ENTJ debaters.
On both sides. ENT, yes, what you said.